Someone who says just do the right thing is selling you short. That may be the religious voice saying do it in your own strength, which ultimately is impossible. Truly wise counsel would say you cannot do it on your own. But through Christ, you can do all things. It is about Him helping us every step of the way.
This is Mission 66, taking you through the Word of God from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor, Dr. Luis Seau. In partnership with Transworld Radio, Mission 66 is produced and heard around the world in several languages. Let's hear from our teacher, John Matthews, and his co-host, Esther Sisulu, as they start us off today in our survey of God's Word.
Well, the series of studies of the Apostle Paul's prison letters will take us today to chapter 3 of Colossians. Now, when it comes to living a life that is satisfactory to God, trying is truly not enough. There are not enough good deeds and no amount of penance that we can do within our own strength to make up for our sinful past. A total overhaul is needed. Today, our teacher, John Matthews, will bring the theme, a whole new self.
Esther, thank you very much, and a warm welcome to Mission 66. And we've been looking, haven't we, at the letters of the Apostle Paul, which are found in the New Testament of the Bible. And Paul has been guiding the Christians in the city of Colossae who were facing problems with certain heresies which had changed the pure gospel into a mix of strange doctrines and human effort. Paul then provides them proper guidance on how man is made right with a holy God. And it's really good news to anyone who will accept it for what it is, because a new life requires a whole new self. That's right. And that is what Jesus offers us. Not to put bandages on the old self, which has been corrupted by sin, but to go in and change the heart of the believer from the inside out. And the Colossian believers had already begun with Jesus, so it did not depend on them starting over, but what it did depend on was them coming to realize and understand that they had received a whole new makeover the moment that they accepted Jesus into their lives. So Paul begins on the first verse here saying, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You'll know perhaps, dear listener, that everything that we spend money, time, and energy on ends up taking up space in our lives, in our hearts, and some of those things don't profit us at all. They're unimportant in comparison to the things that last forever, those things that are of eternal worth. But those other things can, if we're not careful, crowd out the good, can't they? However, if our minds, if our hearts are set on things above, then the good things will crowd out the bad and or the irrelevant or those things that just would become or take the place of God in our hearts, the unhelpful perhaps, and we'll be en route again to the victorious Christian life. And then Paul says something astonishing here in verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, obviously, Paul wasn't saying that they were dead physically because they were still very much alive on earth. But when they accepted Jesus and received the precious Holy Spirit into their hearts and lives, they had entered into an entirely new way, with new desires, new passions, a newfound awareness and desire to run away from the impurity of sin. It was as if the old nature had died and their new self, their new life, that part of them, was really them. And that was hidden, as it were, hidden away, reserved and preserved for them in heaven, which will one day be revealed. Yes, when Jesus appears at his second coming, all those of us who committed ourselves to him in this life will appear with him in glory. We'll have brand new bodies then that will match our brand new selves that Jesus gives us. This is what all the excitement is about here. And Paul goes on to say to them in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." You see, part of having that whole new self means having the power, maybe for the first time in our lives, to say no to those dark passions and the claws of sin that held us captive or just reeled us back in again and again. So the truth here is, we can change, not by our own strength. No, we know that's not possible. We need help. But what is now does not have to be what will be. Watch here in verse 11, where Paul says, "Here, that is, in Christ Jesus, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." We are in a whole different status before God now, where the dividing lines no longer apply to us as far as God is concerned. Once our sin is forgiven, you see, God is free to commune with us in ways that simply weren't possible when we were under the control and the ownership of Satan. And Christians in one end of the world are brothers and sisters to Christians anywhere else. Paul goes on in verse 12 to say, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then Paul goes on to describe what he'd already written to the Ephesians and the Romans and the Corinthians, things that make for a happy and content home. There you go, Esther. Our time for questions has arrived.
That's right, John. Well, friend, you are listening to Mission 66, and this is our Bible study with our teacher, John Matthews. And, you know, I reckon that the first few verses of this chapter may be a bit confusing because Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, he kind of makes it sound like, you know, people have already gone on to be with God in heaven.
Yeah, so this is a declaration of something that has already happened, not future. Now, this raising here obviously is not the literal physical resurrection that will happen in the end of times. That one hasn't yet happened. So this resurrection spoken of is the spiritual resurrection that happens as soon as we believe in Jesus. We get this whole new self with status in heaven.
All right then, but in verse 3, Paul seems to be saying to these people that they are already dead.
Yeah, and this time Paul is talking to those who are alive on earth and not to those who've passed away and are in heaven. He's just making the point here that that those who have received the new self that Jesus gives to those who have repented of sin and received him, well, we are to consider ourselves dead in a figurative sense. Dead to the temptations that once held us down. We know Jesus was indeed victorious over death, but we will not be able to enjoy the result of that victory completely until the end of times finally comes, until we finally receive that resurrection. And the same principle is applied when it comes to our infirmities. Many people perhaps believe that Christians should never get sick because there's a verse in Isaiah, for example, that says he bore our infirmities and by his stripes we are healed. But as long as we do not have our resurrected body, we will continue to be subject to all sorts of diseases and infirmities. What it means by his stripes we are healed is we are healed of the sin, of the debt of sin that we owed. And we have this resurrection in Jesus to come. So we know full well we're far from perfect people, but we have been saved from the condemnation of sin. But we do still get tempted, don't we? And we have to resist the devil and fight against sin day by day by day. And we are not yet what we will be, but we will be one day.
You know, I'm glad that you actually brought that up because Paul makes another statement where he says that we should put to death, therefore, what is earthly within us. So let's explain what this phrase means.
Well, Esther, I think it means we have to have a warfare mentality a little bit against our tendency to sin. You know, sin is not innocent fun. And when we find temptation rising in us, we are to be on the lookout for it. And to oppose it in the same way that Jesus did. You know, Jesus wasn't especially polite when he was dealing with temptation. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil, I really don't think I should do what you say. You know, he said, get out of here, Satan, for it's written. Now, there are some who may say, well, look, I can go ahead and sin because Jesus loves me and he's going to forgive me. So why not? Here I go. But Paul wrote, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Or perhaps some believe that they are so strong in the Lord that they can resist and even revel in the temptation, believing that they will not fall victim to it. They try to see how close they can get to the edge without getting burnt or without falling. No, our responsibility is to not go to places that we shouldn't, to not view things that we shouldn't, not say things that we shouldn't, and not purposefully place our responsibilities on God's back. And so, Esther, we each need to do our part to resist sin and evil desires, but also pray to God and his Spirit within us to give us the strength to resist.
All right, John. Well, here in verse 5 to verse 9, you know, Paul gives us this long list of sins that we need to avoid. And we know that that's very much a part of our old self, our old nature. But I think if we're really being honest, we do find that some of these old self things, they creep into our daily life.
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely. And yet, you know, Esther, when we make a practice of resisting temptation and confessing quickly to God each time we stumble, then the closer we can get to God each day. So He is our daily guiding light. And the better equipped we'll be to resist the urge to do those things that hurt us, hurt others, and grieve the Spirit. He gives us grace for each day, and each day we journey with Him.
Right. And you know, on the converse of that, looking at verses 12 to 17, Paul gives now a list of the virtues to put into practice. And quite honestly, it's hard to imagine being able to do all of these virtues perfectly.
Yeah, impossible to imagine, because we're not perfect, nor anywhere near most of us. In fact, the amazing thing to me is how God saves the penitent sinner and makes that person fit for heaven whilst still alive down here on earth, continuing to sin. And that He even uses us to help other people find the narrow road that leads to life. But the reality is that we should be learning. You know, you improve, you get good at anything that you practice every day. And so we have this potential to increase our proficiency with the Bible and be more committed in prayer and better at sharing our faith with others if we do it every day. You know, forgiveness, let's use that as an example. That's something that many of us struggle to put into practice, with perhaps the memory of an offense keeps coming back to our minds. And yet, how can we expect God to forgive us if we cannot forgive somebody who has harmed us? So I know I ought to do it, but what I have to do is forgive them once, then again and again, as often as necessary. And when I feel that unforgiveness coming back, I have to do it again. And after a while, well, the unforgiveness will give up on us and it'll go away. And we get the victory in that situation. And you know, you can apply that to any sin. If you resist it again and again, as often as necessary, it eventually goes away.
All right, well, I'm looking at verse by verse here, John. And verse 9 actually says to us that we should not lie to each other. In fact, verbatim, it says, do not lie to each other. And I feel like at times we do that very often. Think about the times that someone has asked you how you're doing. And you say, oh, well, I'm fine. But reality is, perhaps your heart is broken because you've gotten into a car accident or something tragic has happened. But you still say, well, everything is fine.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost the stock response, isn't it? And, you know, there are contexts where perhaps we have greater opportunity to be vulnerable and with certain people, the right people as well. So it's not a straightforward linear answer, this, Esther. But let's look to the Bible. You know, in Joshua, Rahab hid spies and had to lie to soldiers to save the lives of those spies. And that's not specifically what Paul is condemning here. He's saying that sometimes we stretch the truth too further, or we imagine we're furthering our own ends, or we lie to cover up bad behavior, or we make promises that we never intend to keep. And that is what Paul is saying that we should not do. Why is lying so serious? Well, on the first part, we know that it breaks trust. And also, this is an important point, we can learn to deceive ourselves. And when we deceive ourselves, it becomes harder and harder to understand what real truth looks like. Billy Graham put it this way: it is Satan's purpose to steal the seed of truth from your heart by sending distracting thoughts. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is, though they both may have good and evil thoughts, Christ gives His followers strength to select the right rather than the wrong. So someone who says, just keep doing the right thing, keep doing with all your might, keep trying harder, try harder, well, that person may well be selling you short, And it may well be the religious voice again saying, do it by your own strength. It's not the message of the Bible, because that, if you've tried, you'll know, is ultimately impossible. But truly wise counsel, and this is from the words of Paul himself, says you cannot do it on your own, but through Christ you can do all things. It's about him helping us every step of the way.
Yeah, John, you know, those are absolutely words to live by. And, you know, I love what Paul says here in verse 13. He says that we ought to bear with each other. Now, is this the same thing as forgiving each other?
There's a similarity, but a difference, I think. To bear with has more to do with bearing with someone's personality traits or minor irritations rather than intentional sins, I think. You know, we can bear with someone who's always talking, who cannot help certain outbursts because of something they're battling. And we should really be bearing with all sorts of traits in others. Really, that's what grace and patience looks like. Every one of us has different idiosyncrasies. So we should always see the best, the positive in other people. But again, this is the fruit, isn't it, of the Holy Spirit changing our hearts. We can't fake that. So I think it's often a sign, isn't it, of spiritual maturity and a closeness to God when someone has that grace, that humility and that patience about their character, as opposed to someone who's impatient and intolerant. But forgiving someone, that's a little different. It means that there has been an offence. And when someone does something wrong to me, well, I've got the responsibility of forgiving them, realising that the next time it may well be me coming to them, asking for forgiveness for something that I have done. So forgiveness ought to be a part of our whole new self. We just ought to walk in forgiveness, because we will be happier and healthier if we don't hold grudges. The quote comes to mind that Anne Lamott once said, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die.
All right, thank you so much, John. And of course, we've now come to the part of the episode where we're going to summarize what we've learned in chapter 3 of Colossians.
Yeah, our theme was a whole new self. Paul was guiding the Christians of Colossae to seek things above and to seek the Christian virtues in this new life with Jesus. Jesus places the believer on a whole new pathway, and we get to walk in it, and nobody else can do it for us. So we are to consider ourselves dead to the old ways and alive to the new, bearing with each other for the sake of unity and common purpose, and also for the sake of the Holy Spirit of Jesus changing us from within. And then, of course, ultimately, it's to win people to Christ.
Dear friends, thank you so much for the pleasure of your company, and we're really counting on you to join us next time as we close out our study in the book of Colossians. But do you have a question or perhaps a comment about this episode? Well, feel free to follow us on Facebook and on Instagram, and you can comment your thoughts there. Simply type in Mission 66 in the search box, and we'd love to have a conversation with you. This is Mission 66, and until next time, God bless you.
As Mission 66 comes to a close, be sure to download your free study guide at mission66.org. Deepen your daily devotion with insights from each episode, and let John and Esther lead you through the scriptures. Get your study guide at mission66.org and be prepared for our next episode. There, you can also connect with us, ask questions, or donate to help Mission 66's worldwide outreach. Head to mission66.org. Mission 66 is made possible through Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.